Good morning.
Well, it is good to see the house of God well filled this morning. God bless you for coming and being a part of the service here this morning. I must say it's been truly a good week. It's been good to spend time with you, to worship with you each night. And God is faithful, so we want to praise him for that. This morning for a message, I invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 14 is where I'd like to start. John chapter 14, so a very familiar passage of scripture. I'd like to do just a little bit of reading this morning before I get into the message here this morning. John chapter 14, I'd like to begin reading at verse 1. John 14, verse 1 says, words of Jesus, says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You just tuck your finger in or put a marker in John chapter 14 and turn with me back to Revelations chapter 21. Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 1. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, shall be their God. Verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away into the spirit to a great and high mountain. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, and on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Verse 15. And he that talked with me had a golden reed of measure. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are all equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was as jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardius, and the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, and the ninth topaz, and the tenth chrysoprase, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor in it. And the gates of it shall not be shut all the day, and there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I believe I'll just leave off reading there. So some weeks ago, I was to share a subject with some young people. I don't even remember where it was. And I asked my daughter what it is that I should share with the young people. And she said something encouraging. Something encouraging. So my heartbeat this morning is to give you encouragement. And when I read Revelations chapter 21, 22, and John chapter 14, I find encouragement. Brothers and sisters, yesterday I sat down and I cried out to God, and what would he have me to share? And as I read this scripture, it caused me to weep. To think of what God has in store for the believer. Far beyond anything we can imagine in this world. So this morning I would like to talk to you about heaven. The title of the message this morning is A Prepared Place for a Prepared People. A Prepared Place for a Prepared People. Come across this story as I began studying. It says like this. Story of a little boy that was born blind. His mother did everything in her own strength to communicate the beauty of the world. The flowers, the trees, the birds, the sunshine, and so forth. One day the mother learned that could perform a surgical cure for the handicap that her son had. The arrangements were made, and after weeks of waiting, the big day came. Was the surgery a success? They began to peel the bandages from his face, and sure enough, after the last bandage was removed, the boy ran over to the window, and for the first time, he could see his mother, the green grass, the trees, the birds, and the beautiful sunshine. The boy was overwhelmed by what he could now see. The boy turned to his mother and said, "Mother, why didn't you tell me how beautiful this would be?" With tears streaming down her face, she replied, "I tried, my son, I tried. But I just couldn't do a justice. Just couldn't do a justice." And this morning, when I think of the subject of heaven, I feel like I can't do a justice. The Bible tells us that the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard the great things that are in store for the believer. things that we can't even comprehend. There was a pastor that said to the congregation one day, he said, "Did it ever occur to you that your hope in Jesus was something to be cultivated? And you ought to exert specific effort for that purpose. Get into the habit of meditating upon the objects towards which your hope is directed." He went on to say, "If you never lift your eyes to the goal, you will never be drawn toward it. If you never think about heaven, it will have next to no attraction to you." So why do we talk about heaven? Because, brothers and sisters, this morning, I am looking forward to one day spend eternity in heaven, aren't you? And so why wouldn't we talk about heaven? Yeah, we can't totally comprehend, but the scripture gives us a little bit of a glimpse. And I trust that it could inspire your heart to persevere, to press through, to continue on in your Christian walk with the Lord. Maybe one of the reasons so many people are busy creating their own heaven on earth is because they are not focused on the real heaven to come. Church family, this morning, there's a real heaven to come. I find encouragement in that. And so this morning, as I think about heaven, a couple of thoughts that I'd like to leave with you. Number one is that heaven is a place. Heaven is a place. In John chapter 14, verse 2, he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." When I think about heaven this morning, I like to think that heaven is an actual place. The Bible refers to heaven as several things. We read in Hebrews 11, the 16th verse, he says, "But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." So he says that heaven is as a country. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think about heaven as being like a country. You ever travel out west, you travel the plains and you see the vast plains, the countryside, beautiful if you go out west. I don't know, in Revelations 21, verse 25, it tells us about this great city, and it talks about this wall that's going to be around this city. It gives dimensions of that wall. And then it talks about all those 12 gates. And it tells us that those gates are not going to be shut. So I kind of picture, when I picture heaven, I picture this great big city. We're going to talk about that city in a moment. But there's this gigantic wall around with gates that are open that I believe I can picture people coming to and from. Heaven is as a country. Secondly, this evening, the Bible refers to heaven as a city. We read about in Revelations chapter 21. "And he carried me away into the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God." I don't know what you think about this morning when you think about heaven being as a city. So I brought just a couple of pictures along that I'd like to share with you this morning, if this thing works. We think about heaven being as a city, and if this doesn't work, we're not going to spend a lot of time at it, but how do I? Where are we at? Yeah. Okay. Maybe I need, where's my, here we go. All right. So about a year and a half ago, my wife gets a kick out of New York City. She likes to go to New York City. And I don't really care for that. But it was her 40th birthday. And I chose to take my wife to New York City for her birthday. And we went by plane. Maybe you guys know a guy by the name of Kenneth Burkholder. He's a pilot. He flies plane. We jumped in a little six-seater plane, and he flew us to just on the north end of New York City into a little town called White Plains, New York. A little airport there, private airport. We flew in there just before dark, and we went to town, and we grabbed dinner at a fancy restaurant. And when we left New York City, we left New York City. We're just real close to the Hudson River, and we flew down the Hudson River at a very low altitude, very low. I didn't know it's possible you could do this. I think we were lower than some of the buildings. I mean, we were very low, and we flew right down. You ever hear of that? Anybody done that? Nobody done that? I encourage you to do that. I'm serious. I really do. This is why, because it just got dark, and we left and we went down, and he throttled the plane back as slow as possible. And you know, it had just rained that day, and the sky was clear as crystal. And this is the scenes that we saw. You know, when I prepared for this message, I had to think about these pictures. That's New York City. You ever viewed it from the sky like that? Isn't that gorgeous? It's amazing, the scenery that we saw that night. Here's another picture. I believe it's Times Square. New York, look at all the lights in New York City. When I think about New York City, I think it's vast. It's big, right? It's a big city. And then he took us down the Hudson River down at the end. Well, there's the Statue of Liberty. He took us a 360 around that Statue of Liberty. He laid the plane over the side, and we went around and got some pictures. We have some videos too, but it's amazing, amazing pictures. So if you ever have the opportunity, do the Hudson River tour if you can. It's amazing. But yet, as I thought about that, and as beautiful and as splendor as it is, it's nothing. It's nothing compared to what you and I can anticipate in heaven. The Bible says that heaven is as a great city. Now, I'm an estimator, so I like numbers. And so I did some math. It tells us here in Revelations chapter 21 that this city, the New Jerusalem, is 12,000 furlongs. So as I understand in the math that I have done, in the study that I have done, it tells us that this city is 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. It's a big city. And if I did my math correctly, this city in Revelations chapter 21 is 2,250,000 square miles. 2,250,000 square miles. When you look at New York City, New York City is 475 square miles. 475 square miles. That includes the water. That would mean there's 4,736 New York cities put together. This is a huge city, brothers and sisters. In the year of 2020, it tells us, it would tell us that the population of New York City was 8,800,000 people. 8,800,000 people was the population of New York City in 2020. How many people could fit in this city? My thought is this morning that there's a place for all people who are willing to name the name of Christ. There is room in heaven for all. And then it talks about this wall that goes around the city. 144 cubits, the Bible tells us. 216 feet tall, if I have it correct. This is a huge wall made of the purest crystals and the gems, and so beautiful that one could hardly imagine. This is a big city, brothers and sisters. Heaven is a city that's 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. I think if I understand it correctly, this would be about the size, about half the size of the United States. One city for God's people, the redeemed. Heaven is as a country. Heaven is as a city. And heaven is as a kingdom. The Bible talks about heaven being that as a kingdom, maybe a place of structure and authority. And here in John chapter 14, as we already read, and perhaps maybe this is the best description of heaven. He says that heaven is as my Father's house. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. The Bible refers to heaven as my Father's house. When I think about my Father's house, or when I think about heaven being as my Father's house, I think of it being as a special place. I don't know about you, but for my wife and I, we try to go to our parents' house, you know, maybe every week or at least every other week. We take turns and we go because there's something special about my Father's house. There's something special. I believe it gives it a personal and an intimate touch. And I believe that's what heaven will be like. Heaven is a prepared place, having the master builder to build and to prepare for the redeemed. And heaven is a promised place to the redeemed. God cannot lie. And if you and I believe the creation in Genesis, why would we not believe Revelation chapter 21? And the Bible, it also tells us that heaven is a better place. Hebrews 11, verse 16 again, but now they desire a better country. And this morning, brothers and sisters, I submit to you that heaven is a better place. It's a better place than the here and now. No matter how much or how good you think it might be here, heaven is a better place. I remember some years ago when the Shalom Mennonite School was built. Dean, you probably remember that. I had the privilege of installing the floor carving in that building when it was built. And I remember I was talking to a man there. I believe he was the painter, and he had some kind of Catholic background. I don't remember all the details, but I remember having a conversation with him one day. And he was a big time golfer. He liked to go golfing. And actually, he was so much of a golfer that one day he brought golf clubs along to the school. And at lunchtime or break, it was break time or lunchtime, I don't remember. He got out his car mat. He had a car mat in his car, and he put the ball in there, and we were chipping golf balls. This was at break, I'm sure you. But he was a big time golfer. But this is what I remember. He was so much into golf. This is what he said. He said, if there's no golf in heaven, he doesn't want to go there. There's no golf in heaven. He doesn't want to go there. Oh, church family. There's so much more in heaven than what you can even fathom or think about. In spite of what some people might say or believe about heaven, heaven is more than a condition. Heaven is not just an imaginary place or some, as some might believe. Some think that heaven is only a state of mind. But this morning, I would like to submit to you that heaven is not simply an imagination. Heaven is not just a feeling or an emotion. Heaven is more than something that is created or invented by man. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Somewhere out there, and I don't know where it is, but somewhere out there, God is preparing a place for his bride. Somewhere in the heavens, God is preparing a place for those that love him. Secondly, when I think about heaven, there will be no more curse in heaven. There will be no more curse in heaven. Revelation chapter 22, the third verse says, and there shall be no more curse. And this morning I have a hard time to imagine what heaven will be like. But maybe this morning, as we look at some things that will not be there in heaven, will help us and it will inspire us. As we think about heaven, think about some things that won't be in heaven. Here it tells us that there will be no more curse. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3, because sin entered the world, there will be death, crying.
There's going to be pain and all these negative things that we experience on earth. They are a result of sin in our world. The Bible teaches there will be no more sin in heaven. Revelations 2, we read that this morning. Revelations chapter 21, verses 7 and 8. No more sin is going to be in heaven. The nation today, as we know it, is swimming in a moral sewer of rape, divorce, drugs, pornography, adultery, murder, gangs, abortion, suicide, and many more terrible things that we read about every day in the news. And it is a result of sin. The heart of humanity is wicked continually and in need of a Savior. There will be no more curse in heaven. Revelation 21, verse 4 says that God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain in heaven. There's going to be no more death when we get to heaven. There's going to be no more funerals in heaven. There's going to be no more goodbyes, no more separations, no more grieving when we get to heaven, because someone that we love has passed away. This morning, I believe there's going to be a reuniting in heaven when we get to heaven, a reuniting with people that we love that went on before us. I can still remember when my grandpa passed away. He was privileged to have a keen mind until his death. And he talked about the vision. He had visions and he saw people that he knew, people that I knew. He saw pictures. He saw visions of people in heaven. So there's going to be a reuniting in heaven. I believe children will be in heaven. All the children that died from various kinds of diseases, maybe AIDS, starvation, the children that died innocently from war, and many other reasons that children have died, whatever it may be. All the martyrs that gave their lives for the sake of Christ, I believe they're going to be in heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." We're supposed to comfort one another with these words, that someday we're going to be out of here. We're going to meet Christ in the air. And those that died before us that loved the Lord, we're going to meet. There's going to be a reunion that takes place. And you and I, as God's people, are supposed to comfort one another with these words. I enjoy going to family reunions, catching up with people we maybe haven't seen for years. But I believe when we get to heaven, there's going to be a reunion like never before. No more death in heaven. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" Brothers and sisters, this morning it's going to only be eternity. Eternity in heaven. This morning, there was a time when you weren't. There's a time when you weren't, when Christopher Columbus discovered America. You weren't born yet, but there's never going to be another time where you weren't. You will always be. Every soul on this earth will live forever, spend eternity somewhere. No more death in heaven. There'll be no more pain. I believe both physical and emotional pain. I work with a man, I believe it's Harold's son, Harold Jr. He struggled with a lot of headaches almost every day. And just in conversation, it's just, he's made the comment several times. He's tired of dealing with the physical pain that he's experiencing every day. And he's ready to go. He's ready to go. I'm ready to go home. And somehow these physical things that we face in life, they have a way of making us long for heaven. There'll be no more headaches in heaven. There will be no more medication for depression and anxiety. for Lyme's disease, for cancer. There will be no more radiation or chemo in heaven. The Bible says that we will receive new bodies in heaven when we get there. We wept, and the Bible even tells us that we're going to sing a new song when we get to heaven. Everything, all things will become new. There's going to be no more cripples when we get to heaven. The Bible tells us that the lame will walk, the blind will see, and the deaf will hear, and the dumb will talk. When we get to heaven, there's going to be no more special needs children in heaven. All is going to be made well when we get there. And finally and thirdly, there will be no more accuser when we get to heaven. The Bible tells us the accuser will be cast out. The one that accuses you and I day and night, the Bible tells us. Revelation chapter 12 talks about the accuser of the brethren being cast down and the dragon having great anger. This morning, I believe the devil has great anger. And he's coming after the redeemed because he knows that his time is short. This morning, I can hardly fathom what heaven will be like, not having to deal with the darts that Satan hurls at the children of God. No more temptations in heaven. When you and I get to heaven, we're going to rest. Today, we need to continue on. The Bible in Ephesians chapter 6 tells us to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand in the evil day. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be able to lay down the weapons of our spiritual warfare. We're going to rest. When we get to heaven, really rest when we get there. The absence of the devil, the Bible says, that he will be cast into the lake of the fire that burneth forever and ever. This morning, we all fight battles. My encouragement to you this morning is to not give up. It's to not give up. No matter what you're going through in life, someday it's going to be worth it all. Someday it's going to be worth it when we get to heaven. Well, Revelation 21, verse 8, talks about something else that will not be in heaven. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, idolaters, and liars will not be in heaven. The Bible says that we must be born again to enter heaven. The only way to heaven is through the Son of God. His name is Jesus. Heaven is for those that recognize they are a sinner in need of a Savior and ask Jesus to come into their heart and forgive them of their sins and turn from their wicked ways. Verse 7 says, the overcomers will inherit heaven. Those that are overcomers. But as I thought about heaven, it inspired me to think that there will be no more curse in heaven, nor the results that occurred because of the sins that entered the world. This morning we talked about a lot of things that won't be in heaven. Let's talk about some things that will be in heaven. The Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 3, that God himself shall be with them. This morning, God himself will be in heaven. John 14, verse 3, Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And he says, I'm going to fetch you so that we can be together in heaven. This morning, we can talk what heaven might look like in all of its splendor. The Bible talks about the streets of transparent gold and all the other very expensive gems and jewels that the Bible talks about. But yet, as I think about heaven, I can hardly imagine that anything will be as glorious as seeing God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, in heaven. To one day open our eyes and see him face to face, our Redeemer. Revelation 22, verses 3 and 4 says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants will serve him, and they shall see his face. So God himself will be in heaven. There's going to be worship when we get to heaven. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces, and they worshiped God. This morning, there's going to be worship when we get to heaven. Corporate worship. When we get together in a setting like this and we lift our voices together, it's inspiring. It's inspiring to me. Yes, we worship alone and we come before God, but there's nothing like being together with like precious faith believers, worshiping and lifting our voices to the glory of God. Worship is going to be in heaven. Again, Revelation 5 says they sang a new song. They sang a new song. I wonder what that's going to sound like when we get to heaven. The Bible says that there's going to be pleasure forevermore in heaven. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, at thy right hand, there is pleasure forevermore. At the right hand of the Father, there's going to be pleasure, complete satisfaction. You may think that this world has a lot of things to offer. You might think you find a lot of joy in the things of this world. But brothers and sisters, there's not going to be anything better than what heaven has to offer. And lastly, I can't help but think that there's going to be a little bit of work in heaven. And maybe you don't like this thought, but I can't help but believe that there's going to be something in heaven to do with our hands. Something to do with our hands. And I think about the perfect garden in the beginning. God told Adam and Eve to keep the garden, to keep it. And so I can't help but imagine when we get to heaven, there's going to be some things to do with our hands. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Lay up treasure in heaven, not of the things of this world. If in this life only you have hope, you're of all men most miserable. Are you anticipating the return of Christ to go be with him forever in glory? Yes, brothers and sisters, this morning there is coming a day when the heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. Sing it with me, will you? What a day that will be when my dreams and life shall sing, when I will be.
Hallelujah. There will be no sorrows there, no more burdens to bear, no more sadness, no pain, no more heart.
Thank you. I trust this morning that's where you find yourself. My desire this morning is to encourage you to press on, because someday
it will be worth it all. And someday we're going to rest. Is your heart prepared? Are you ready? You know, I didn't know if I'd give an opportunity for an altar call this morning or not, but I think I'll do that. If you're here this morning and you know that you're not ready, you think about the return of Christ, you're not quite ready. You know, this morning you want to make a commitment to follow the Lord, and you want to make sure that when he comes, you're going to go with him, be with him forever. I want to give you that opportunity to respond to God's word this morning. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we do pause before you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity that you blessed us with to be able to gather together in such a way as this. God, I just pray this morning that you would search each heart. God, I just pray that you would speak, you would have your way. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that just would like to get right with you, would like to accept you as their Savior, Lord, that when you come, you can go with them. To this morning, they can make sure. God, I pray that you would calm each heart and search us, Lord, and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. And so this is what we're going to do. We're going to sing a verse of song. And if you're here this morning and you want to make a commitment to follow the Lord, I'm going to just ask you to get up out of your seat. You're going to walk back to the minister's room. And if you're a girl here this morning and you'd like to make that commitment, the ministry and their wives will come too. If you're a young person, your parents, they'll come join you too. Don't worry about what takes place back there. If you want to make a commitment today to follow Christ, this is an opportunity for you to respond to the gospel, to say yes to Jesus. We're going to sing a song, and when we're done with that song, we're going to consider the service closed. But if God is calling you, go ahead and get up out of your seat, go back to the minister's room, and the ministry and their wives will meet you back there. So let's sing a song of invitation. When you're done with that, I'll turn it over to the ministry. Sing a song.